Please take your Bibles again and turn with me this time to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and beginning in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We now come to this word. We come to God's word. It is God himself speaking to us. And I would begin our time together by saying that everyone has treasure. Everyone has treasure. You don't have to be wealthy or have diamonds or gold or a Ferrari or a mansion or whatever it might be to have treasure. For some people, those things may be their treasures. But whether you are in prison with nothing, not even your freedom, or whether you are a powerful billionaire with everything that money and power can get you, you have treasure, because at the core, treasures are what we delight in. Treasures are what we set our hearts upon. And each one of us will have different treasures that will look different for probably, to some extent, each one of us here in this room. But each of us has treasures. Each of us has those things which we set our hearts upon, the things which are most important to us. But this morning, the thing I want you to know is that Jesus, the sovereign King of this universe, and also the friend of sinners, has something to say to us about treasure. And we find what he has to say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 21. Let me read these words again for us. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The thing that Jesus tells us is not to lay up treasure on this earth, but to lay up treasure in heaven. And that is really the main thrust, the main point of this sermon this morning. But I have four points that build on one another to help us to understand this idea of not laying up treasure in this earth, but in heaven. And those points are two types of treasure. We must choose heavenly treasures are more secure, and our treasures and our hearts are connected. Two types of treasures. Heavenly treasures are more secure. Sorry, two is we must choose. Heavenly treasures are more secure. That's three. And four, our treasures and our hearts are connected. In verse 19 to 20, Jesus talks about treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. And at first glance, we might think that these are two locations, or that they're simply two locations for treasure. But if we think about it a little more clearly, we might think of 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, where it says, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." The treasures, the things, the stuff, if you will, that are treasured in this earth cannot be carried out of it. There is an incompatibility between the treasures of earth and the treasures of heaven. So when Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, he's not telling us that we need to take our bank account that's in Lloyds Bank or HSBC or Barclays or whatever it might be and transfer that to the bank of heaven. He's telling us that there are two types of treasure. There is treasure that is characterized by the priorities of this earth, and there is treasure that is characterized by the priorities of heaven. And so that's why this first point is entitled Two Types of Treasure. However, the location does play a role here, and you've already heard me reference that, because one treasure is characterized by the priorities of this earth. The other treasure is characterized by the priorities of heaven. That's what Jesus means by on earth or in heaven. We can set our hearts upon and delight in the things that this world prioritizes, or we can set our hearts upon and delight in the things that are the priorities of heaven. So what are the priorities of this earth? We've talked about them, but what are they in particular? Well, there are many perhaps, but three of the most fundamental are certainly physical well-being, comfort, and worldly significance. Physical well-being, comfort, and worldly significance. And I'm not saying that And these things are always manifested in a selfish way. But whether they're manifested in a selfish way or an unselfish way, you might think of someone who is all involved in charity work. And perhaps they really do love people. But on some level, they're doing it perhaps because they want this sense of significance, that they're doing something in this world that matters, and that everyone around them is going to say, yeah, that matters. So it can either be a selfish thing or an unselfish thing, but either way, the reason why people set their hearts on and delight in the treasures of this world, earth, the physical comforts, the houses, the good jobs, the good reputation, the whatever it might be, is because they have the priorities of this earth. And they are laying up treasure, they are storing aside treasure according to those priorities. But treasures in heaven are different. Let's think for a moment about the treasures of heaven. What are the treasures of heaven? Well, the great joy, the great occupation of those who are in heaven are to bring glory to God and to enjoy Him forever. Bring glory to God and to enjoy Him forever. So the great treasure of heaven is God Himself. And you think about it, it talks about streets of gold and precious stones for gates and all sorts of other treasures in heaven. But what I want to tell you this morning is that even those treasures are only lovely and wonderful in heaven because they enable us to enjoy the God who made them, who gave them to us. They point us to God, and they're precious ultimately in heaven because they are God's and they show us things about our God. We must always, always, always follow the gift up to the giver. And that is why even the beauties and wonders of heaven will be so wonderful, because they are God's beauties and God's wonders and they show us about Him. And even the rewards of the last day are God-centered. We only receive them because God has worked in us by grace to follow Him. And we receive them from the hand of God. And we do them now. We do the things that please God now out of love for Him and desire to bring glory to Him. So even those rewards in heaven are God-centered. The great priority of heaven is the glory and enjoyment of God. The great priority, the great treasure of heaven is God Himself. And so there are two types of treasure. There is the treasures according to the priorities of this world and the treasures according to the priorities of heaven, which is God Himself. But the second thing is that we must choose. You see, we will miss what Jesus is saying here if we think that He's saying that we need to lay up treasures on earth and in heaven. He's actually not saying that. He's saying that we need to lay up treasures in heaven instead of laying up treasures on this earth. He's forcing a choice. We must choose. Look with me again at verses 19 and 20. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." There's two commands there, and they're connected by a conjunction, connected by that little word, but. It strengthens the negative command, don't do this. And it also strengthens the positive command, do this. We are not to do one thing, we are to do the other thing. We are not to lay up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. We must choose. Will we follow Jesus and lay up treasures according to the priorities of heaven? Or will we go our own way and lay up treasures according to the priorities of this earth? You see, not only is there this disjunction between those two things, but the Bible tells us that there is also a war going on in this world. It tells us that ever since Adam in the garden, our first parent, disobeyed God by doing the thing he was told not to and eating the forbidden fruit, that there are those who follow the devil in rebellion against God. And there are those who God is calling out of this world to be his people. And there is enmity, there is war between them. In Genesis 3:15, God says to the serpent, which is the devil, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." There are two sides in this world, and they're not on friendly terms. They don't have diplomatic relations between each other. And so we must choose one side or the other, one type of treasure or the other type of treasure. And if you don't see that enmity in this world, then that's okay. I would love to talk to you about that afterwards. But that's certainly what the Bible tells us. But also, Jesus, in the next few verses, says to us, you can't have your loyalty in two places at one time. Look with me at verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, or you cannot serve God and the treasures of this earth. Storing up treasures for ourselves in this earth and in heaven, doing both at the same time, is not an option. It's not a both-and proposition. It's an either-or proposition. You must choose. Will you obey Jesus and choose to store up treasures in heaven? Or will you go your own way and store up treasures on this earth? Now, Jesus could have just left us there with that challenge. But he doesn't. Graciously, wonderfully, he gives us reasons why we should choose to lay up treasures in heaven rather than laying up treasures on earth. And the first of these reasons is a contrast between earth and heaven. Heavenly treasures are secure, earthly treasures are not. So that's why my third point is heavenly treasures are more secure. Notice in verse 19 and 20, we have not only a command, but also a contrast. Now we talked about these two locations, one location prioritizing the treasures of the earth, the other location prioritizing the treasures of heaven. But there's also a contrast between them and between the security that they offer their type of treasure. It's almost as if Christ is talking about two treasure lockboxes and saying one is secure and the other is not. Have you ever pulled out a favorite piece of clothing out of the wardrobe only to find that it is riddled with holes and moth eaten? If you have, you know the power and capacity of this world and the things in it to destroy human treasures. The gardens that we work so hard to keep tidy are ruined by weeds. Floods ruin homes and everything that is in them that took a lifetime to build up. The things of this world have a way of destroying the treasure in this world. But it's not only them. This passage also says that rust destroys, decay. And perhaps the best way that all of us can understand this, whether it's the one who has the most years among us or whether it's one of the little children at the back. All of our bodies are decaying. It's part of being in this world. Some of us know that more keenly than others, but it's a fact of life. And there's perhaps no other time in history that the body and the image of a perfect body has been so precious to this world. And yet, that treasure is being decayed. Rust destroys. It's not only the creatures and the other things of this world, but it's also the decay of this world. But it's not only even that. It's also the other sinful human beings of this world. Thieves break in and steal. Jesus is adding one layer on top of another to make a very simple point. And that is that this earth is a very faulty storing place for the treasures of this earth. But what about heaven? Well, notice with me in these verses that what happens is moth, rust, thieves break in and steal, all those dangers to earthly treasures are negated. Heaven is the place where the moth does not destroy. Heaven is the place where rust does not destroy. Heaven is the place where thieves do not break in and steal. Whereas with earth, the insecurity was being highlighted. With heaven, the security of that place and the treasures of heaven, the treasures that are characterized by the priorities of heaven, the security of those treasures is being emphasized. So we have this contrast, but it's all to show us that heavenly treasures are more secure. But you know what? That's not even the most important reason. Yes, it's a powerful reason why heavenly treasures are better, but it's not the most important reason. And that's why my last point is our treasures and our hearts are connected. Our treasures and our hearts are connected. Look with me at verse 21. Jesus states this very plainly. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you think about it, it only makes sense. If we say that our treasure is what we set our heart upon, the things that are most important to us, then of course, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And heart is meaning the very essence of who we are, the center of our being. Now, I don't know, some of you may know this story very well, others not. But you think about in the Old Testament, where there was these cities that were rebellious against God and had long gone their own way, despite God's ways, Sodom and Gomorrah. And God had set them for destruction. He was going to destroy them by raining fire down from heaven upon them. But he also was going to save a family out of those cities. He was going to save Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And just in time, before the destruction was going to happen, those angels which God sent came and they snatched, as it were, these people out from the destruction that would come. And they gave them one command. Don't look back. Don't look back. And yet, Lot's wife did. And those of you who know the story know that she was turned into a pillar of salt. But the key thing for us here this morning is that it's actually not surprising in some ways that she looked back. You'd think that why would she do this? She knows it's going to be destroyed. But think about it. She'd probably spent her whole life in Sodom. Lot was a wealthy man. They probably had a great house, many possessions. She probably had a social position that was recognized as high. There were many things, many treasures back in Sodom. And by her look, she showed that her heart was there too. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you leave this life, will you leave behind you more treasures than you are going to? Or will you go to more treasures than you are leaving behind? Our treasures and our hearts are connected. And this is an important point because it is a reason that Jesus gives to place our treasures in heaven. Because we want our hearts to be there. We want our hearts to be entwined around Jesus Christ, our God, actually the triune God. We want our hearts to be around. And so we must put our treasure there as well. So, we've been considering this morning this idea that we are not to lay up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. And we've seen that there are two types of treasures, treasures in heaven and treasures on earth. We've seen that we must choose, that Jesus is forcing a choice, that you can't have both at one time. And we've seen that there is good reason to choose treasures in heaven. They are more secure. And if we choose them, then our heart will be in heaven as well. So therefore, the command, the exhortation from Jesus himself, the second person of the Trinity, is lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. But this might raise all sorts of questions in our minds, might it not? Does that mean that I need to go tomorrow and empty my bank account? Does that mean I can never want nice or even expensive things? Well, actually no, it doesn't mean that. Think about it. Why do we save? Well, hopefully, it's not because we just want to watch the numbers in our bank account grow and grow and grow. It's because we don't want to be a burden on others. We want to have the resources to help others, to give to the glory of God. And so, when we're saving, we're not doing it because that savings is our treasure. We're doing it because God is our treasure and we want to use those savings for the glory of God. Why do we desire nice things? Well, hopefully it's not because we want to make them our treasure in and of themselves, but because we serve a great God who in his wisdom and power has made all sorts of great things and has caused all sorts of wonderful, lovely things to be made. And in them, we see his kindness and his goodness and his wisdom, and we glorify him as we enjoy those things. So it doesn't mean that we can't have them. We might have a mansion and yet use that mansion for the preaching of the gospel, for the gathering of the saints. Or we might have a cottage and yet never want to have anyone round because we're worried about muddy footprints on the carpet. In the former example, our mansion is not our treasure. God and His glory is our treasure. But we use that mansion towards that end. In the latter, the cottage really is our treasure, not the treasures of heaven. And so the central command and idea here is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, how do we do that? Well, I've hinted at it a little bit before. We use our resources in such a way that our treasure shows what our priorities are. Well, what are the priorities of heaven? Let me remind you. Ultimately, preeminently, it's God Himself. That is the priority of heaven. But it is the good things which He gives us and His people as well. And so, are we using our time, our money, our other resources in such a way that shows our priorities are the treasures of heaven? Our priorities, the treasures of our hearts, are laid up according to the priorities of heaven? Or if we did an accounting of those resources, would it show that actually our priorities are stuck down in the mud of this earth? But it's not only in how we use our resources. It's also in knowing and delighting in God Himself. Well, we do that in our personal and corporate worship. How do we lay up the treasure of God Himself? Well, we come to know Him and delight in Him more and more. It's through Scripture, through meditation, through on Scripture, through letting it sink into our hearts and minds. And through prayer, where we come into contact with God Himself and know Him as our God and Father, and pour out our hearts to Him and wrap our hearts around Him. It's corporately as we hear His word, as we sing His praises. And we treasure God in all the good things around us. I've mentioned that. God gives us many good gifts. And when we look at those gifts, we don't simply look at them themselves, but we trace that gift up to the giver. And we treasure the God from whose hand we received that gift. But then, lastly, as we close our time together, there is also an application of repentance. Is this us? Are we treasuring the things of this earth? Or are we treasuring the things of heaven? Where are our priorities? Where are our hearts? Perhaps there is room for all of us to repent in this area, to turn from the one and go to the other. You look at even the structure of these two commands, and it's not laying up treasures on earth, but laying up treasures in heaven. That's repentance. Turning from one and turning to the other. But we do so knowing that we serve a gracious God, a God who is ready to receive us as we come to Him in repentance, ready to give us of His Spirit to help us to make that turn. So if we see that in our lives, let us repent. And perhaps, maybe you're here, and you've never treasured God in that way. He's never been the ultimate treasure of your heart. Well, the call for you this morning is simply to make that turn. Do not lay up your treasures on this earth, but lay them up in heaven. Lay them up according to the priorities of heaven. Treasure our great God himself. Turn to him in repentance and faith. Let us not lay up our treasures here on this earth, but let us lay them up in heaven. Let us pray. Almighty, glorious God, we pray that as we come to you, that you would open our eyes. So often they are dim, and we do not see you as the great treasure that we ought. So often our hearts are locked around the things which this earth prioritizes. But Father, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit in us, that we would be those who lay up treasures in heaven. We would be those who have the treasures which are marked out by the priorities of heaven. We see so much weakness in ourselves to do this. But we know that you are almighty, powerful, and good. We know that you never turn away those who come to you in repentance and faith. And so we pray that you would help us this day, in the days to come. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ with boldness. Amen.